Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? All right, I'll just start in prayer. Heavenly Father, good morning. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for everything we have, family, friends, our health. And if we do have tribulation, let us go strong through it and come out on top. Thank you that we can make it to church and fellowship and be in your word, because you know that's the most important thing, to take this and take it out into the world and share your gospel and share this truth. We want to let the Holy Spirit do his job, do his teaching, and that can open our eyes. And like I said, just take this out and promote you and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so yeah, last time we were in Colossians, and I'm grateful and thankful to see you guys. This is really good every day that I'm doing this. I'm grateful that I can come up here and, you know, take a swing at it. So thank you for having me. And so we were in Colossians. We kind of went through what was happening there in Colossae and everything, that we went through verse 1 through 14 and kind of seen through there the Apostle Paul, how he heard of the Colossians and everything, you know, because he's in jail at this time, so hear from Epaphras and all them. So, but we're going to start in verse 15, and we're going to read our verses that we're going to do for today. So we're going to do 15 through 19. So we're gonna, chapter 1, Colossians, chapter 1, verse 15, 19. So, and we're going to kind of just read over it real quick and see what we're going to be talking about for today. Who is the image of the invisible? Verse 14 here is that we know that we're talking about Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So now that we're talking, we know what we're talking about. Now you see what it's, you know, this is proof. Because that's what the Bible is. It's proof that if anybody wants to know something about the Lord or truths, this is our proof. So we can share this with others. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. So that's what we're going to be in there for today. And kind of skim through those and see, kind of talk about those. Now basically I want to get into just a few parts where the Lord Jesus Christ is pre-existing. He's the creator. And then now he's the head of the body of the church for today. So that he's pre-existed. This is what these verses are basically entailing. He pre-existed. He created everything. And that now he is the head of the body. And that's going to be our focuses and our things for today. So, and that a thing is the preeminence, where he is before all things. He is superior. He is the superior being above all beings, and in his preeminence. That's the focus of these verses. So now we're going to verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? The image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So, oh, I have my notes backwards over here. Yeah, so the theme that I have for today is Jesus above all, before all. So, you know, we have lots of unbelievers. That's what the Colossians were going through. They had Gnostics, and they had, you know, they were warning them about them ideologies of spiritualism and spirituality instead of going to what God, you know, God's word, and who the Apostle Paul was at the time, who they were supposed to be following. So, God the Son created all things, and all other mentions of gods or imaginations of creation are fallacies. So they're all, and it's God the Son is the creator. Anything else, any gods, any ideologies for men, those are all fallacies. And Jesus, so basically the image of the invisible God, and we went over a little bit of this last time I taught, but I wanted to, we're going to kind of recap. Obviously, Jesus is the forefront of God. He is God. God is an invisible being. He is, in John 4:24, God is a spirit. You cannot see him. He is invisible. He is in John 4:24. God is a spirit. And John 10:30, the Father and I are one. The Lord Jesus is there are many verses that show that the Lord Jesus is God. There's so many of them, you can just kind of go through them. But those are some that the Father and I are one. And there are many verses that say that he was before, you know, the Father was beloved of him before the world. And there's other verses, and I think in John 17. So he is the invisible, he is the visible image. So we can go to Hebrews 10, verse 1, and kind of get a glimpse at that. And the more I'm reading in the Hebrews, I see that Hebrews is pretty good book, and it's just on its own terms, so it's got a lot of truths in there. Hebrews 10:1, and there's another verse that I want to get into, but that's going to be later. That's going to kind of prove the image that the Lord Jesus Christ is the image of God. He's the physical image. We needed something like that, and you'll see in Hebrews 10:1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So for the law having a shadow of good things to come, what is that? That's the Lord Jesus. The end of the law was Lord. So it's basically a distinction between shadow and substance. So back then they had to do their animal sacrifices, throw them under the rug. Do animal sacrifices, their sins would be basically thrown under the rug, and they had to continually be doing it. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the shadow of good things to come. And that's now that his ultimate sacrifice, which is another reason why he needed to come physically, bodily, because it was the sacrifice that his body was supposed to, through his blood, so our sin can be forgiven. So that's what that is saying. So the very image of the thing, and not the very image of the things. So back then they didn't have the image. Now we had the image, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's a kind of verse there that kind of says, all right, well, you know, they didn't have the image, but now we do. And then, you know, you have Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. You know, that we were made in God's image, and that's just another verse. It's not pertaining to that, but it's something, you know, that God is three. Let's us. There's always was hints back then. And the other one in Genesis 11:7, let us go down and confound the language with the Tower of Babel. Yeah, so God was always hinting that he was three, meaning that there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But God, the Lord Jesus, is always the one who is the forefront for us. He's the one who does the creating. He does the saving. He did all everything. He's the one who's doing God's work. So, now in the same, we can go back to Colossians. We're going to be going to Acts here, but let's just go to Acts chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. I went through this verse last Sunday too, but I kind of want to tie this in. So, who is the image? So now we know who the image is of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now here's the big thing, the firstborn of every creature. It's a title. It's like a title, firstborn. This is where it's proving that he existed before. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 23, that's another verse that we're going to. But Christ existed prior to creation of the universe. That title, firstborn, is that he's the head of creation, meaning he's the one who's in front, the forefront of creation, the Lord Jesus. So that's that. What's that firstborn is meaning? He was in the eternal counsels of God. He was there. God the Son was there sitting, and they were determining what was going to happen before they even made anything. Before they even made anything, that the Lord Jesus and God the Son was present. You know, and that's what that firstborn is. So, and we'll go to I'm not even there. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, so that him being delivered by the determinate counsel, that was them counseling before, and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Meaning, God had a plan of redemption before the world, and it's before indeterminate counsel, meaning in the foreknowledge. He knew, already knew, he had a plan for our redemption, and that was for Christ to die. So, that's a thing that, you know, because there's many verses that call Jesus God. So, that is God there. And the foreknowledge of God. Jesus, we know that God is three. So, God the Son was there. And that's what he was there when they knew. He's like, well, you know, Father and the Son, he's probably talking to them. And he's like, well, I'll be the one that has to die for them. You know, I'll be the one who, they're sitting there talking like the men would talk amongst, you know, amongst men, or people amongst people. They would say, hey, well, you know, I'll do this. I'll be the one that go down there and die for these guys, and, you know, I'll be the one to do the creating or whatever. So, and we are to be conformed to this. This is our truth here. The things that we're learning here, you know, we're supposed to live our lives for Christ, doing all that we can to serve Christ. Do you think you've done all that you can for Christ lately? Have you matured and conformed to His Word? Because He put His Word above all His name. These are questions we can ask ourselves. He has put His Word above all His name. And that is, you know, we all know that every knee is going to bow at His name. So that's a powerful name. That every creature in the faces, in all above, on, below the earth. So He put this right here above all of it. And we have ultimate access to this. There's groups out there that they have books. You can't touch their books. You know, there's groups out there that they literally have books, and you cannot touch their book. You cannot read their books. You know, and that's, to me, nah, we have the best book. You know, this is free. The Lord gave it to us. This is the best book that we can be using. So, that's what I say about that. You know, but all right, so now we're going to go to Christ's creation. So His, back in Colossians, we're going to go back to Christ and His creative side, and how He is the creator. And, you know, Christ is the creator, and He's the creator of the angels. Creator of everything. He created, as you guys already probably know, He basically created everything out of nothing. He spoke into existence. John 1:3 says that He just spoke and the things were, you know, that they were out of nothing. So as you guys know that, Moses, John, and Paul all affirm that the Lord is God. So those are three different writers, three different times, three different things that they're, you know, about. So, you know, you got Genesis talks about it, John 1, and that's a good one to share with anybody. John 1 is just, it's powerful. You just have to say it, everyone knows what you're talking about, because it's, Paul talks in Titus that the Lord Jesus is our great God and Savior. You know, it's very plain, very clear. There's not just a few verses. There's many verses that the Bible says. So, I mean, I've had talks with Jehovah Witness and all these, you know, some Jehovah Witness are like, Jesus is not God. Well, what about all the hundreds of multiple verses that say he is? You know, like, and that's, it's just really man following what another man said and not being honest enough to read it and be like unbiased. To me, that's what that is, you know, and I'm pretty sure that's what it is. So, he's the creator of all, you know, he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. So whatever you could view of heaven, stars, planets, comets, all the crazy stuff that you see up there that you can't think of, that you can't understand, well, that's God. To him, it's like nothing. He just speaks it and it becomes. You know, and he's the of the star, you know, the three heavens. There's three heavens. Heavens of the fowls, which is atmosphere. Heavens of the stars, which is where the planets and stars are. And then there's heaven where God's throne is and where God is currently in the host of heavens. They live, those are the three heavens mentioned in scripture. So Hebrews 1:10, you know what, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. Let's kind of see what we got going on here. I mean, just think about all the things here on earth, the beautiful, the grand, you know, the Grand Canyons, the forests, the snow, the mountains, the tornadoes, the everything, all the power that the earth emits. That just came from but a thought, but a taught, but a spoken word of our Creator, the Lord Jesus. So Hebrew 1, verse 1. And this is going to prove our, and this is going to prove the image of the invisible God too, verse 3. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these days, last days, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. That's pretty plain. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things, that's verse, upholding all things by the word of his power, that's all things consist in him, that's verse 17 of Colossians that we'll be getting into, but all things consist in him. When he had made himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Right now, to us, which I will be getting into a little bit, that he's the head of the body of Christ, and he is sitting at the right hand of the Lord Jesus, of God the Father. He is right now exalted, sitting with all authority, all power, all the, everything that you could, everything that that a creator, king, God should have, he's there. He's there right now. And now prophecy just needs to be fulfilled in the future so that, you know, all things will come. So just a few verses afterward, we're going to see verse 10. Same chapter, verse 10 of Hebrews. And thou, Lord, in same chapter, verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. That right there is that he's the creator of heaven and earth. He laid the foundations of the earth, and he's somehow with his words, and he just kind of formed the galaxies, and he's just like, it's great. So, alright, so moving forward, we can go back to Colossians. Yeah, we can go back to Colossians. Chapter 1. So we're still in like his creator stage, that we're going to be talking about creation and all this. Verse 16. So, alright, yeah, we could read verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So this is for the just anybody that doesn't want to believe in the truth of, you know, non-Christians or whatever. This is, he made this for himself. He made this by, he made it just for him, for his glory, so he can share for us and be, and he wasn't stingy. He made us fellow heirs with him. So he wasn't just like, yeah, I'm going to be God and be over you serfs. No, he was like, I'm going to be God and you're going to serve with me. Well, you know, that's, I mean, if you know another religion that does that, let me know. But there ain't going to be none. The Creator don't come down and says, oh yeah, well, I'm going to die for you. First, I'm going to determine this council. Then I'm going to die for you. Then I'm going to say, oh, well, we're going to rule together too. You know, it's like, yeah, you can't. What other? And the problem is that the sad part is that a lot of Christianity is chopping up these truths. You know, and that's the scary part. That's why they try to say, oh, well, you were trying to start arguments. Well, no, we're trying to start debates to try to, you know, to open the eyes of each other. What if I'm wrong? Okay, well, let's debate and we'll see if I'm wrong. And I, you know, with, you know, after growing in maturity, you could be like, okay, well, maybe I am wrong or maybe I'm not. But us, we know, you know, for the most part, we've grown in certain... So to a certain point that we know that we're right, and that's why we have to be, you know, in my opinion, I think, you know, we should be bold and assertive in spreading the truth, but at the same time show love. And to be like, okay, well, you know, if you're wrong, you're wrong. If anything figures out over there, if a light bulb turns on, then come on through, you know. But besides that, so the Lord created all the authorities. So the authorities you don't see and you do see. He created, Satan. He created the angels. I might want to get into the verse where he created the angels. Satan is a created being. The angels are a created being. They're not all powerful. They're not. And I don't know why. And there are very, very powerful men in the world. In this world that we live in now, they're very powerful, very rich, very influential, and they pray to Satan. And a lot of people don't want to believe that, but they do. And they do the old Babylon, the old ways, 3,000 years ago, the same way that that they were doing all the gods and all the worship that in Judges, back in the same thing that all through Judges, all the nation of Israel was doing through 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. They're doing the same thing. They're offering, you know, babies. They're offering dead. They're doing satanic, wicked things in the name of whatever God they're trying to please, which is Satan. And there are rich and powerful men that do this in this world. If you don't believe it, then it is what it is, but this is what the people who run the show do this. Okay, they understand that there's a spiritual warfare out there, and that there are principalities and thrones that are invisible, and that there are invisible. The visible ones are the ones lying to you on TV. The invisible ones are the ones controlling them, and God is above all them, and God is using all of them to fulfill his word, which in Revelation will come true. Whatever your fears and doubts or people going to hell or, you know, this is going to come true because God has ordained it. So he's got to work amongst the realm of all that evil and all that chaoticness. And that's, it just is what it is. Satan is a created being. You see that he's the prince of the power of the air. So he's in the air and he's a prince of it. So he's got authority, he's got powers. But he's still a created being. I mean, there's a guy. There's a guy in Metallica. I seen that he was on Joe Rogan, and my cousin Hector actually showed me this, and he's talking about how he put spells on people, how they were praying to the devil. These are guys that regular people listen to them. They're just rock stars, you know, and they all do the satanic ritual stuff. This stuff is not new. This stuff is, they're just learning it from, you know, because they're just learning it and doing it and whatever they're doing with it. But for people to think that it don't exist, it does. And that's the spiritual warfare against us, as true believers who wants to do what's right for the Lord. And, you know, it's a real thing. So I think his name is Dave Mustaine. He was one of the original guys from Metallica. But and Satan's ultimate goal is to keep people from coming under Christ. He actually, that's what he don't want people to be saved. He don't want people to learn about Paul's epistles. He don't want people to learn about the truth that has to be, you know, you don't want them, he don't want us to learn about this. He wants us to be in division. And we're going to get to that in a second, but about the divisions. But yeah, created angelic beings in rebellion and false gods. I mean, just look at what Psalm 148 talks about how God created the angels. He created Psalm 148, 2 through 5. The Lord Jesus created angels. They're very powerful beings. They're probably the most powerful under the Lord Jesus, you know, under the triune God, but they're very powerful, and God created them. So if they have all this power to create a muck through this world, and God's got his thumb over all of them. So, and Psalms 95:3 says that God is above all gods. Our God is above all gods. So whether the gods be called angels, or whether the gods are stone, you know, the wood, gold, silver, because that's what they prayed to. You do think it's not true? They prayed to statues. They still do it today. They don't know the statue doesn't move, and they still praying to it. I'm sorry. I think it's funny to me, but it's not. And when you think about it, it's not funny because it's a serious thing. But you know, but it's when you understand, it's like, geez, we're that bad. You know, humans are actually that bad. That's why we need the Lord to do all this work for us, to do all the love for us, and His determining counsel. He loved us. That's why we needed Him to do all the work for us. Because if it was left to us, we're all be done for, you know. So that's why we need, you know, the Lord Jesus in the 10 plagues of Exodus. He went down and all them plagues were a mockery of their gods. So if you see that they had the frogs and they were worshiping all these, you couldn't even kill a frog. That's what and there was a mockery of all that. So if you like, so God was mocking them, saying, "What I say goes," and that's what them 10 plagues all were. So down all the way up to Ra, and you know and that's all. In my opinion, the gods are misrepresentations of the angels, and Satan being their chief, such as Zeus or Ra or Odin. That's Satan being them, and then the other angels. That's just my view on it. So. I'm pretty, you know, all the paganism comes from the Tower of Babel. We know that. And there, from what I've seen, there are about 35 pagan gods mentioned in the Bible. So, but I think they're intertwined, like different, like names, Baal Peor or Baal this or Baal that. But I'm pretty sure there's about 35. And some, to name some, are Baal, Molech, Chemosh, Dagon, Nisroch, Tammuz, Diana, Mars, Jupiter, Mercurius. So these are just a few that are mentioned. And they're worshipped today. People are worshipping these gods today. And it ain't just your average Joe down the street. It's your average billionaire down the street that are doing stuff like this. Your average millionaire, multi-millionaire people, your average politician. Now, if we don't say this, you might think, oh, well, you're crazy. How do you know this? Well, it's just deep research, I guess you want to call it. You just know that that's what's happening because of how they speak, what they do, their ideologies, you know, and people who, and there's also people out there that kind of expose them at times, too. I mean, they had the one guy, he went in there and he snuck into the Bohemian Grove, where a place where all the presidents hang out, and they're praying to a 40-foot owl made out of stone. It's a 40-foot owl, it's a Babylonian. That's what they're doing. They're sitting there mock sacrificing with hoods on. These are all rich and powerful people that run the show. And he went in there and took a video, and he's seen that that's what they do. It's old druid. Druid, you know, the old ways. So it's still alive for sure. So To kind of prove my point, let's just go to Daniel chapter 5. So if you guys know about Daniel, if you ever have your off time, you read the book of Daniel because it's good. You know, Daniel was there with he was there during a regime change, where it was Babylon, and then it was the Medo-Persians. And here's this verse is during that change. Chapter 5, verse 23. And they changed his name too. Nebuchadnezzar changed his name, and then now he's speaking to Nebuchadnezzar's son here. And thou, verse 22, chapter 5, Daniel. So now the son of Nebuchadnezzar is like freaking out because he's seen a sign of a finger writing something, and now he told him, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, that's the son, has not humbled thine heart, though thou knowest all this, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. That's what they're doing today. Even not just these rich and powerful, but people who don't want to come to church or read their Bible or learn more. They want to, and we'll get into that here in a second, but yeah, just lifting up themselves against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. These are the stolen goods of Jerusalem. And they were mocking, you know, drinking wine out of it and getting, you know, these are stolen goods that they stole from Jerusalem. So the Lord probably wasn't liking that. And drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear not, nor know. And the God is in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all the ways hast thou not glorified. So things that can't see, can't hear, can't do, they're praising this. But not little do they know, God has got them in his hand. The real God's got them. And he's about to, and if you read on there, he's within that same hour, he's done for. So, and that's definitely what we don't want. So, all right, moving forward. Now, we know that men, these people that run the show, now it's not just the people that run the show, it's your everyday person as well. I was just giving the emphasis that it's not just your everyday person. It's your person that you, it's, so men deny Christ and their deity and, you know, and the creator. And there are over 4,000 recognized religions in the world. There's more than that, but there are 4,000 recognized religions in the world, like little ones, little things, and consist of churches, congregations, faith groups, tribes, cultures, and movements. And these, and that is a lot. So that's 4,000 motives of deterrence of Christ. They're just deterring the truth, and that's 4,000 ways, which is probably more, but, and this is just what I've looked up. Even if there was 1,000, that would be a lot. So from what I heard, there's 4,000 around, then that's recognized, meaning that's an established religion. And there's about 221 to about 400, that's the numbers I got here in America, that are denomination, faith options. There's over 200 faith options that you could choose. And that's another, even though God is a God of division, there's only, as you know in the Ephesians 4, that there's one truth, one body, one, you know, one baptism. There's one way to the truth, and that's through Paul's epistles. And that's so there's 200 to 400 different ways here. Paganism is growing in America. I mean, there's a lot of other, you know, there's Islam. There's, and if you don't think these things are pagan, then I don't know what you guys need to go and study a little more. That Islam, Buddhism, Mormonism, Hinduism, Jehovah's Witness, Judaism. That's you know, they don't believe that the Lord is the who he is. You know, they don't. And I forgot where I seen where they, why, but they don't. They don't. When, you know, and then you have the intellectuals, evolution, Evolution is that's a big thing, because that's the same thing, in my opinion. It's like the global warming, you know, the evolution and the global warming. It's all part of the same agenda. Like, let's just say the globe is warming up, okay? But that, if you think that the world's going to end, then you ain't putting your trust in the Bible, because the Bible says it's going to be here 1,000 more years. We got a whole 1,000 more years to go. So the global warming is not... Let's just say the Earth is warming. And? Because it's not consistent with God's Word. So it's consistent with taking your liberties. That's what it's doing. So that's a whole other subject in itself. But evolution is consistent with making kids... making the younger people and older people to get away from God. And if you learn about who created evolution, Darwin. Yeah. So Darwin, I always forget his name. I always forget these guys' names. But Darwin was, he's not no random person. He's family with, like, people that are other fame, like Aleister Crowley. I think he's another guy that they're like tied in to these people. These people are tied in. You know, he used to do hallucinogens. He did a lot of wicked things. And he's not just, so this is the guy that comes up with theories. You know, that's all evolution is. It's a theory. And if you want to, and I would go challenge you to look that up and see what evolution is. And there's no truth to it at all. I mean, it's really sickening how not true it is, and how much people believe in it, because it's nowhere near true. It really isn't. It has no truth base to it at all. So, and that's there's so many things that are trying to deter the children of today. You know, then there's Western occult tradition. There's a bunch of Gnosticism, alchemy, astrology, numerology. There's a bunch of them. So. You got to look out for Hermeticism, Satanism, divination, Wicca. You know, you just kind of want to double check those things, because those things are alive and well in the world. So thank God we have our Lord Jesus Christ. We know Him as our Creator, and so we can go back to Colossians. We can go back to Colossians. Kind of move forward in reading. So now we've seen how he's dominion over all them people, the rich and powerful, the ones we see and don't see. And verse 17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So that's pretty basic there. He's Creator before all things, and that all things consist. So that means the whole universe is intact because of Him. There's no, it's literally like, if the Lord wasn't like around, the universe would fall apart type deal. Like, He's like a glue, He's like a bonding, that you would bond something together or weld something. That's the Lord is the bonding of what the universe consists of, the atoms, the neutrons, the protons, all these things. The Lord is holding them things together. And we saw that in Hebrews 1:3 when we read it, that He's upholding, that He is upholding all things by the word of His power. So He's got power, and by His word of His power, that's what he says that He's holding it, and that's what's happening. So that's it, just is what, you know, He's whatever, He's a man of His word. Let's just say that. So He's a God of His word, right? And Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord, he made the heavens. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the hosts by the breath of His mouth. That's where He speaks. Psalm 33:6 is another proof that He speaks this. He spoke the worlds into existence. Literally spoke them. I know it's probably hard to believe, but it's the truth. And You know, in John, they talk about how he was loved before the world. And so now we know that Christ, that's what that's saying. He is the glue. He is the center of the universe, as you say. As you would say, the sun is the center of the universe. Well, that's similar with the Lord Jesus is. He is the center of all things. So whether people believe it or not, so they will be subject to him. Okay, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. And there goes that word preeminence, where he is before all things. He is superior. He is surpassing all beings. He surpasses everything that you can think of. He has the preeminence, surpassing them all. And you see there that he is the head of the body. Okay, so what is the body? Well, in Ephesians, you see that it is made up of Jew and Gentile, reconciled. That he slain the enmity before them. You know, the Jews were of separate kind back then. So Jews were separate, God's people. You couldn't eat with them. You couldn't do nothing the same that they did. Now God has sliced that and said, "Nah, you guys. You know, you guys did the three strikes. You're out. Now I got to bring in Paul, who was supposed to be my Antichrist, and I got to bring him in and save him. And now I got to do this for the Gentiles because you guys aren't, you know, now." And that's what the head of the body is. Now we are something different than the kingdom program. The kingdom program is when they are waiting for their Messiah to be their king and their high priest. That's a whole different thing than the head of the body sitting on the right hand of the Father. That's something completely different. Completely different. And there are so many proofs that show that. And you guys know, but whoever is not listening, that is something completely different. And you see throughout, everything is prophetical. And that what's happening today was secret. It was kept secret because why? Because the determining counsel of God says that Christ must die. That Christ must die and be our sacrifice. So they did this in season back then before the world began. Because why? Because if Satan would have knew all this, he wouldn't have killed the Lord Jesus Christ. He wouldn't have done what he did. He, you know, the Passion with Mel Gibson, but it was just a part that they have the character of Satan, and finally kills Christ, and he realizes that he messed up, like he shouldn't have killed Christ, and you see him screaming like I could just imagine right now, you know. When he learned that when he did, he messed up, that he was pretty peed off. Yeah, he was probably mad. He was screaming his head off, crying, you know. Just to finish off what we got going on is the church today. So we're part of the body, right? So the true church is invisible. It's made up of members. The church that God recognizes is not a building, is not the priesthoods of this people or the hierarchies of Rome and you know, the Catholicism and all them. And God don't recognize that. God recognizes the true church, which is the body of Christ, is invisible, is non-denominational. In my opinion, it's not denominational. That is not no denomination. It's the truth. And that's all it is. So the truth is made up of true believers all over the world of every denomination, of many denominations, but it's not denominational. So you can be someone who's saved that's in a denomination, but they're part of the body of Christ, but God don't recognize that church. And he recognizes the body. The body, that's the whole link to it. The body of Christ is just a spiritual thing that God is, okay, well, you're part of the church because now you can go out and teach and preach and do all these things. And it's not like how it was back then where they had a priesthood, where they had to go to Aaron and his sons, you know, like in Israel. That Israel had to do all these things, these sacrifices. Now it's different. We're all on the same level in Christ. The Lord sees us on the same plane. You know, even though, you know, whatever you do, that's between you and the Lord, where you get your positions, and when you die, you get your rewards. That's between you and the Lord. But here on earth, He sees everybody the same. He sees everybody as on equal ground, you know, in their salvation. So, and that's from what I see. So, and there are about, like we said, there's about like 400 denominations. 200, 400, that's a lot. 50 is a lot. So, and there's a lot of different denominations, different views of what God's saying. Yeah. And we are baptized in Christ, Romans 6:3 says. So we are baptized in Christ. And it's a spiritual baptism. And I kind of just want to get into one more thing. And let's go to Revelation real quick. We're going to do Revelation and Ephesians, and then we're done. Just to kind of show you guys. This is where, you know, this Revelations, they call it the book of a crazy man who wrote it, but this book has got to come true. That's right. It's got to. It's got a lot of scary stuff in it, but it's got to come true. And, you know, we don't have the spirit of fear. We have the spirit of power. So, the Lord's power. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. That's what I was getting at, the firstborn. That the firstborn is that he was the first to arise. So let's just finish reading. The prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed from our sins in his own blood. Washed us from our sins in his own blood. So the begotten, that was in verse 18. The firstborn in there is that he subdued death and he arose from his own power first. So we're going to be born and we're going to have a new body from his power. But he was the first to be in his own power, be raised from the dead. So that's that firstborn, what I'm thinking that he's talking about. So, and here you see that in Revelation, the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. And he saved us for our sins. In verse 18, same chapter. And he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. So he was dead and now he is alive. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. That boy has the keys to hell and death. He has the keys. He has everything now in his pocket. He's just waiting to fulfill what this need to be done. And us, we are in the age of grace, and everything is working toward the body of Christ is here to promote what we're supposed to promote through Paul's epistles. And we're now, everything is working toward what's going to happen here in Revelation. And that's going to be the tribulation, the crazy times. We're not going to be there for them crazy. I'm not saying there's not going to be crazy times. There could be. No. We ain't going to be there for them real crazy times. And that's going to be something that's. So I just wanted to say, let's learn all that we can learn about this word. Because this is a very powerful. You know, God wants. In Ephesians 3:7. I'm not going to go there, but 1 through 17, if you want to go home and read it, Ephesians 3, it talks about the body of Christ and the mystery that was kept secret since the world began, and that it's all there. It's not me saying it. This is, there's, it's in text. So this Bible has been intact for many years, way before I was born. And this Bible is supernatural, and it's got power to save. Well, not the Bible, but just its words that are in it. You believe, and you will, so learn it all you can. That he's the head of creation, the head of the body, the master of death. He has mastered death. He's mastered it. Like you mastered fixing a car or something. Well, he mastered dying and coming back to life. This dude, so he mastered dying, coming back to life, and then bringing us with him in the eternal, in eternity, to reign and to live forever and to, and we should be grateful at that. So next time you see, when you go out today, when you go out throughout the week and you see, you recognize this pagan, all this, that we have the one and true God. We have the God that saves. We have the God that does everything. And you should have it in your heart. We all should. To no matter what, try and share it. Because there's a lot of matter what's out there. There's a lot of things that, maybe I shouldn't right now, or maybe it's a bad time, but if we can find in our hearts, because the Lord saved us from an eternal damnation, then that'll be good, and we can maybe try and look for opportunity out there to know that we have a God that has pre-existed, he created all the worlds, and now he's the head of the body of Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father, so... Thank you. And that's it. And we'll do a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Let us go through your word and share the truths that you have for us, and that we have an eternity of bliss and of good times, and that we can live with you forever and reign with you and honor you and glory you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.